24 to 18.
Morning.
Good morning.
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 Again.
Again.
Your name for the record, please?
Sergeant John Iommazzo, IOMMAZZO, issuing authority, Waterbury Police Department.
And a brief statement of your case, Sergeant?
Yes. So the issuing authority's basis for denials of suitability, the appellant self-disclosed some of her criminal background, but did not fully disclose. So there's some guilty convictions on her record, as well as some specifics about at least the one of the Waterbury incidences that is of concern to the issuing authority.
And a brief statement of your case, ma'am?
I'm sorry?
At this point, you're allowed to give a very brief statement of what your case is. It's not your case in full, it's just very briefly.
Just a denial for the pistol permit?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure why I was denied it. What he said, it says something about suitability for family violence. That's all I know. I don't know exactly why I was denied.
Okay, we'll hear the case in full.
Okay.
Good morning. So the appellant submitted her application on 3/7/2023. In her application, she did answer in the affirmative on appropriately for the questions and provided a list of incidents. So she did self-disclose some of the incidents, but upon further investigation of the issuing authority, there were some concerns with that list. And first would be that although she initially listed all of these incidents, it was very, for lack of a better term, diminishing the weight of some of these incidents. She says that there's these arrests disposed of, and that's it. But she didn't state that she was actually found guilty in two of the incidents, both in Danbury, both in 2008, 826 2008 and 912 2008, and those were larceny convictions. That was the first concerns that we had. The next was there was although that she was forthcoming in the sense that she provided a list of these arrests, it was the number and again the sort of distancing and diminishing the seriousness of some of these incidents. And more specifically was an incident that occurred in Waterbury. So she listed the incident on her list, but did not indicate that it was Waterbury, did not indicate that there was domestic violence involved, and did not indicate that there was a protective order in place in response to that incident. So again, diminishing the weight of the incident sort of distance herself from it.
Excuse me, which one on her list are you talking about?
That would be number 7. Sorry. Yes, so number 7. That was a Waterbury case. It was a domestic violence case, and there was a protective order in place for a total of 201 days.
Was that case Nolly?
So that case was Nolly.
So she didn't have to list it?
Correct. She did not have to list it, but she did. So yeah. She disclosed it. Yeah. So she brought it to my attention. So I think, in all fairness, she sort of brought it to the attention of everyone and makes it discussable at this point.
You're saying that she diminished it?
She diminished it in the sense that she just said that there was an incident, but didn't explain that there was a protective order, that it was domestic violence, that there was physical violence involved in the incident. She just said that there was an incident. She also left out that there was that it occurred in Waterbury. Out of all the incidents she listed, she showed the places that they occurred, but for the one that occurred in Waterbury with domestic violence, with a protective order, she didn't list where that incident occurred.
Even though she was under no obligation to list it?
Well, that is correct. She's not under obligation, but it shows a pattern. There's 9, 8 items here, and they all show where they're located, but the one that shows is involved with domestic violence conveniently has no...
Number 8 doesn't show.
I'm sorry, 7 and 8, yes. And that was a motor vehicle speeding ticket.
6, 7, 8.
So, it just, it raised some concerns that if this occurred in Waterbury, if you're disclosing it, then disclose all the information is again, our stance. So we'll have to find this incident, find out that it's domestic violence, and that there's a protective order associated with it. If you're going to disclose it, disclose the full story. So,
what was the most recent date of any
that would
activity?
Be the, well, the, of her arrest would be 2014.
Okay.
That was
so 11 years ago.
So 11 years ago.
Okay.
All right. I know time is a big issue for the board. At times, time has passed or a timeline. But I think that it shows that up until 2023 that there was other incidents. The last part of the issue we have is that the appellant has been in the protective party on 13 different protective orders and the respondent on one. And again, I'm not trying to say criminalize domestic violence or being the victim or re-victimize anybody, but I think 13 protective orders shows a large volume of being involved with individuals that it's not one or two incidents, it's not one individual, it's several individuals, and it just shows a pattern of who is the appellant being around and what situations is she placing herself in over and over and over again. And then the thought of, do we offer this in the appellant a firearm, and now there's a firearm in these situations that, yes, are violent, but now we've now put a firearm in
the
hands.
What are the inclusive dates of those?
Those would be, just give me a moment, I'll put those dates for you.
And is she the subject of any of them, or is she's a protected person?
She's a protected person on 13, and she is the respondent on one. That was the one for 201 days. So starting in 2014, 2013, I'm sorry, 23, 23, 20, 19, 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 14, 8 and 14, and 1 and 13.
So the most recent was in
23. Correct. Okay. And the last one in 23 is still, I believe that's the one that is still valid.
And she's the protective party.
She's the protective party. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I'm not trying to re-victimize. I understand the situation, but it just is concerning with all of these incidents, all of these repeated situations that require a protective order. Do we want to put a firearm into any potential incidents in the future?
Isn't she allowed to protect herself?
She is, but I've brought cases to the board before where we've had some concerns of entering a firearm into possibly volatile situations in prior cases I've had. So I'm not trying to diminish that she's a victim. I'm just trying to protect either her from lethal force with her own firearm or that firearm being used to cause harm to somebody else if she's in volatile situations.
So. Do you know whether alcohol was involved in some or any of these incidents?
Of the appellant's arrest? Yes. Yes, there was alcohol involved in that Waterbury arrest.
When was that arrest again?
In 2014.
2014.
Yes.
Meaning the appellant, alcohol, he was using alcohol.
Correct, yes. She was intoxicated.
And is that the protective order that she was the subject?
Correct, yes.
So that's the last one she was a
correct,
subject.
Yes.
Would you like to cross-examine the subject?
Me?
Yep.
Yes, you. So the last Am I asking him questions or am I speaking?
If you have any questions, that's sure.
Questions, okay, no. I'm just listening. Some of this stuff is my first time actually hearing. I'm just listening. I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question from the sergeant. So, given everything that you presented to us.
Yes.
What was stipulated on her actual denial?
On the denial, it was that Waterbury arrest.
Just that one?
That was one, yes. Back in 23.
If you presented these other incidents, why weren't they included on the denial letter?
And I'm not making excuses. I was not the officer in charge at the time. I did not do the initial denial. I was presented with presenting the denial case, mm-hmm. And upon my review of the case, these other items. Why the previous officer did not choose to list them, I can't speak to that. But.
So the only information actually that the appellant had was what was in the original denial letter?
Back at the time of the denial, I would presume yes.
And until she received a copy of this packet?
Correct,
for
yes.
Our hearing today?
Correct, for the hearing, correct, yes.
Okay.
But by the same token, I would presume she was present for these 13 incidents that...
Yeah, but that's not what was
right,
told.
But that's
her
not
letter.
The issue.
Right.
And those aren't disqualifying in nature.
Correct. And I'm not using those as the disqualifying items. That is not the position.
Are you trying to sway us with them?
What's that?
You're trying to sway us with them, nonetheless.
Yes.
I mean, that is... is that not my responsibility?
Other questions from the board?
I just had the same question about the denial letter, because it's just simply not fair to say this is the reason you denied and then have her come in here and not know. Doesn't mean you couldn't use the other stuff too, but it's a very weak denial letter.
I can't speak to that. I did not write. It's not my name on it. It's not my signature on it. I'm not trying to, not take responsibility as the issuing authority. But I wasn't the one that issued the denial in the first place. So
I'm going to try to sum up what the denial is for. There's some type of tumultuous relationship going on over many, many years. Maybe many different people. I have no idea. And the appellant has had protective orders protecting her, except for one.
Except for one.
Which was the 2015.
14.
14 arrests, 15 dispositions.
Correct. Yes.
All right. And you say for the underlying conduct in that case, do you have anything to present about the
yes.
underlying conduct?
Yes. I can definitely speak to that case.
From a releasable record?
Well, again, I understand the position. It's knowledge, but... The appellant put it in her application.
You can pull up the record, go for the record.
You can look into it, talk to the officers, whatever. The case report really isn't fair game. That's yeah. erased.
Correct. So the appellant was intoxicated, was involved in a violent altercation. Physical violence was between...
Where are you getting that from?
Are you there?
So...
You don't have any
first hand. Even though she reveals it, it's still a knowledge case.
Yeah. You can ask her. You can't use that report. If it's erased, I mean, you just can't use it to refer to or to present it to the board.
I didn't present it. She presented it. She put it in her application. She brought attention to it.
Yeah, she could have presented the case, but she didn't. She could have. If she
and there was a protective order. So the protective order obviously would not be.
Do you have that?
That was in the packet as well. The protective order was in there.
Yeah, that'll help chart. So it won't explain the underlying
correct.
Circumstances.
Yeah. So I mean, it was, an intimate cohabitant physical violence. So I mean, it's. I mean, there's obviously something occurred, so.
Yeah, you're not barred from the PIST department because you've had a protective order. There's a very specific question on the application that we use all the time that has 60 months of a timeline on it. So past that, it does not have to be disclosed. Okay.
But she did.
Yes, and it's
that's
a knowledge case,
okay,
and
I think
it's being presented. haphazardly.
Any other questions from the board?
But it should be noted, your question is, what was the denial for? That was the denial at the time in 2023 from the other officer. You know, my case includes all these other items, which again shows a pattern of all these other these things, these criminal acts with arrests
that she disclosed. After the denial, if there are further incidents, they're
correct.
Fair game, but these were prior incidents.
Correct.
They could have been brought up as in the denial.
It's your turn to make your case.
Okay. So the arrest in 2014, this is my daughter. She was actually present. I was dating a guy. He got mad. He got physical. My grandmother actually called the cops. I was on the phone with her. When the cops came, they arrested me. They didn't ask me any questions. I went to court for the arraignment. I spoke to the public defender, I believe.
Probably.
He sat down. I explained it. They threw the case out. That was it.
You were drunk at the time?
I was not drunk. I did have a couple drinks after work. I was not drunk. I was not intoxicated. My daughter, like I said again, she was present. I don't know. And then also he stated that I was arrested in 23, I believe. The last time I was arrested was, I believe, 2015 or 16. Since then, I've had no incidents.
What were you arrested for?
That was speeding. It was a motor vehicle.
Was that an infraction or were you actually arrested?
It was just a ticket. Okay. And I had to, I think, pay a fee or something. Mm-hmm. I was speeding. It said over 70 miles or something.
Okay. And if I recall correctly, I think the 2023 incident that you brought up was a protective order, correct?
Yes, she was a victim, yes, correct.
I
she
was
not
victim.
Arrested. No.
Yeah.
And she was the victim?
The victim, correct, case. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, no problem. Yeah, I do have a history with people with domestic violence, me not being the aggressor, not being violent or anything. Obviously picking the wrong people to be around, but 10, 11 years ago, I'm different, I'm more mature, I'm a nurse, I mind my business, I go to work, I go home. That's it.
Where do you work as a nurse?
I work private. I'm a private LPN. I actually have to go to work after this.
You look like you're going to work.
Yeah, thank you. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I'm not violent. I have no incidents of violence. No other encounters with the law.
Your statement said no violent crime, but the Waterbury arrest.
Yeah, I shouldn't have been arrested. So when I went to court, I explained that. They threw it out. He said, don't worry about it. It's going to be taken off.
That's not a dismissal. That's a nolle. Yeah. So... Those are two different things. It wasn't thrown out. It was adjudicated after 13 months.
But at the time, that's what when I sat with the person, that's what he said to me. He said, don't worry about it. The case is going to be thrown out. I don't know the technical terms or anything like that, but that's what was told to me.
Sergeant, would you like to ask her any questions?
So in 2014, you stated that you were told it was all taken care of and all thrown out, but the protective order lasted over 200 days.
I wasn't even aware there was a protective order at all.
Well, that's not accurate because for a protective order to be valid, you have to be physically served with that protective order. So it can't be effective unless you are handed a copy.
I was never handed
a
copy.
That is a requirement of the protective orders that the respond if we have a valid copy of it issued to them. Where did that incident occur? That you're
at my home residence.
Okay.
In Waterbury.
And were you still actively interacting with that other party when the police showed up? Did they witness the interaction when they arrived?
So no, that's what was stated on, so when the cop came, that's what he said. He said that I saw a physical altercation. It was pitch black outside for one. I'm dark skinned. I was in my house, so how could you see a physical altercation if I'm inside? They were outside my door trying to push into my house. And it was three people, it wasn't just one. Mm-hmm. It was my boyfriend, his mother, and his sister. The cop told me, turn around, put my hands behind my back. That's what I did. My daughter went with the neighbor until I got, you know, bonded out of jail.
Okay. So if it's a nolle, that's 13 months. Protective order is 201 days. But you're saying you weren't aware of any of this?
And no, sir.
No further questions.
Questions from the board?
I was just wondering whether the appellant was going to call her daughter as a witness.
Yes.
Were you expecting to call her as a witness?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you do that now?
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Introduce yourself.
My name is Tanaya.
No.
I'm her daughter.
Big voice.
My name is Tanaya. I'm Brittany's daughter. Referring to that situation, honestly, that night, she was falsely arrested.
Just say the incident, though, of what happened, what you remember.
So, like, from what I remember from that night,
how old were you at the time?
How old was I?
Probably 11, oh my goodness. 10 or 11.
Yeah, like, elementary, maybe 5th, 6th grade, maybe. So I was younger. That doesn't affect my memory of the night, though. I remember us being in the house, my mom having one of her friends over. We're all relaxing, we're all having a good time, everything's good, you know. Her boyfriend at the time shows up outside. He brings his mother and his sister. They're upset for whatever reason. They're outside her house yelling, banging on the door, trying to get in. My mom is upset. She's clearly, you know, her nerves are bad. She's riled up, you know. They're trying to get in, they're yelling, using derogatory terms, you know, saying anything they can to get in, whatever. At some point, I do remember the door opening and my mom telling them to leave. As my mom is telling them to leave, they're trying to push their way into the house. At the time, I know they didn't have any belongings in the house. There was no reason for them to come except for whatever they planned on doing. They wanted to put their hands on her, whatever they, I don't know. My mom tells them to leave. She has her friend call the cops. The cops show up. As a safety precaution, you know, I go with the neighbors to get myself out of that situation, you know, so I'm protected. I remember her being taken away in cuffs. I'm looking out the window. She's being taken away. That's it. She should never have been arrested that night. There was no reason for her to be. Maybe her being upset or yelling in a situation where she's being threatened, she has to protect her daughter. You know, maybe, I don't know, but
so
she didn't deserve
you're
that.
You're saying that these other parties were trying to gain entry to
yes.
your mom and your
yes.
residence,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't. No one was expecting them to
no.
show up.
And not expecting them to show up, and also not expecting them to show up with that much force and aggression. There was really no need for any of that. And I don't think also that she was wrong for calling the police. I mean, we're in danger. What else is she supposed to do? Call the police to help us. They didn't help us. They arrested her. Now I don't have my mother. And now they get away with showing up to our house. You know, it's just, the whole situation was just not right, honestly.
Was your mother the only one arrested that night?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other questions? Would you like to make a final statement?
No,
no, he can cross-examine if he wants, right?
I thought he had done that. Did you?
I did not.
I'm sorry?
The daughter, right, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Were you inside the house or outside of the house when the incident occurred?
I was inside of the house the entire night. I did not leave.
Okay.
I was told to stay in the house. Tonight, stay in the house. Don't go outside.
No further questions.
Okay. Would you like to make a final statement
now? No, ma'am. Thank you.
Again, the issuing authority stance is that it is tasked with trying to protect the community. We understand that domestic violence is a real thing. It is obviously a real thing for the appellant. But we have to weigh the risk to her safety from either the domestic violence or now having a firearm that could be used to potentially fatally harm her. And based off the that incident and other incidents that were found upon investigation and also disclosed by the appellant, that was with the position is that the issuing authority does not feel comfortable putting a firearm into that environment.
Last incident was
23. So it was only 2 years ago.
But she was the protected person.
She was the protected person. So it's the, I think the question was is that it was so many 11, 14, or however many years the number that was put out there. It's actually only 2 years. So it begs the question, has that pattern been broken, or is the appellant still in tenuous and dangerous situations with individuals that she is putting herself in potential harm with?
Thank you. Colonel Overton?
Sure. This is a denial by Waterbury. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is the City of Waterbury's concern regarding the appellant's history with domestic violence cases and concern for the community safety if they issue a permit. The appellant has been the protected party in approximately a dozen protective orders. The city had issuing authority had concerns regarding the appellant's disclosure of the arrest and convictions. My stance is it looks like the appellant tried pretty hard to list her arrest and convictions. You know, 2 pages, numbered them probably to the best of her memory. The appellant has only 2 convictions, I believe, both for larceny 6th, both from 2008.
Comments from the board?
I'm impressed that the appellant listed everything that she was involved with. Since I've been sitting on the board, I find that most applications aren't so forthcoming. I feel that the appellant presented herself well today. She's gainfully employed as an LPN. She brought her young adult daughter as a witness who was a latency age child at the time of the 2/14 incident. And I feel that her daughter's description of the incident was useful information for me to hear. Anyone else?
With permission of the chair, I'd like to ask the daughter one final question. Do you have any concerns if your mother were to be granted a pistol permit at this time?
I don't. I really don't. My mom is really responsible, and I would trust her with my life, obviously. She's my mom, so, you know, I have no objections to that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I think it is, for the record, the protective orders being the subject of them, having that amount does raise some questions. But going back to your criminal record, and the last one being brought up from 2014, the case that was nollied, and 2 larceny convictions, it looks like. I mean, it's hard to disqualify someone that statutorily should not be disqualified under the auspice of suitability. That, I mean, is loose at best. So I understand where you're coming from with the protective orders. I just don't take to the presentation of disqualification over her.
Any other comments before a vote? I've got a real problem with this case, a real problem. And to summarize, and I think to summarize what the sergeant is saying, there's a volatility issue here. You seem to often be in difficult situations. And is adding a gun to these difficult situations a good idea or not? To pick up Dr. Conrad's issue, and do you have a right to protect yourself? Certainly, and it sounds like you may have needed that through the years. But I'm still concerned about a volatility issue, a lack of stability. Ready for a vote? Colonel Rosenzweig.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf. I'm sorry, Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Civetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
I'll be the fly in this one. Issuing authority. But you've been successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Have a great day, guys.
Sir, do you need a